We're breaking into programming to take you to Poland. That's where the US Secretary of State has been meeting with the Polish Foreign Minister to discuss the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The Polish Foreign Minister is speaking. Let's listen in.
And for allied cooperation within NATO, as well as for the coordination of political activities in the OECD. Poland will never recognize territorial changes brought about by unprovoked, unlawful aggression. The way in which Russia conducts hostilities based on the desire to break the will of Ukrainian resistance by means of attacks that terrorize civilian population, shelling residential areas, nuclear power plants, and non-military vehicles are war crimes under international law, which are not subjected to statute of limitation and will be prosecuted with utmost determination. I call on Russia to refrain from attacks on civilian populations. I call both parties to abide by international humanitarian law and to treat prisoners of war with dignity. Turning over all war criminals must be considered in future peace negotiations. Due to its own painful experience in the past, Poland will consequently demand prosecuting war criminals. This is our historic debt to the inhabitants of Guernica and Wieluń, whose sacrifices can never be forgotten. Pursuing war criminals is an element of humankind's common memory. It's our common obligation. To achieve this, Poland called to life the Rafael Lemkin Center for Documentation War Crimes in Ukraine. We discuss possibilities for Polish-American cooperation in this area. I call for an end of the bloodshed and the ceasefire for the duration of the talks between Ukraine and Russia. In my capacity as OECD chairman in office, I welcome the understanding for the creation of humanitarian corridors that will facilitate the evacuation of civilians from Ukrainian cities under siege. Along with the majority of OEC countries, I appealed for this from the outset of the conflict. I view this understanding as a ray of hope to prevent more Ukrainian civilians from falling victims to war. Everything possible must be done to ensure the evacuation. Russia's aggression in Ukraine caused a humanitarian crisis of an unimaginable scale. Our priority is organizing effective aid to hundreds of thousands and soon be millions of refugees. Poland already received up to 700,000 refugees, and we will continue to do so for everyone that needs it, regardless of their nationality, race, or religious creed. The attack on Ukraine already transformed Europe and its sense of security. Poland decided to immediately increase its defense spending budget to 3% of its GDP beginning next year. As a key country for deterring and defending NATO's eastern flank, Poland wholeheartedly welcomed the alliance's swift reaction to the new strategic circumstances. And convey to Secretary Blinken my thanks to President Biden for his effective leadership in coordinating an explicit, united, and effective response from the transatlantic community and the free world to Russia's aggression. As a host country for NATO response force on the eastern flank, Poland plays a critical role in this reaction, and we are determined to abide by it. In line with the Charter of the United Nations, Poland will provide all possible support to Ukraine, who is currently defending itself from an unlawful, as I said, unprovoked aggression. Thank you.
Secretary Blinken.
Thank you. Ms. Bignev, I want to thank you, as always, for a very good exchange, for the very warm welcome. And we were just at NATO together. We were in Washington together a few weeks ago, and it's very good to be here with you. I'm also especially pleased that Ambassador Brzezinski is now here in Poland, credentialed last month. Timing could not be better. It's vital that we have all of our confirmed ambassadors in place at this critical time. And we are, in fact, meeting at one of the most urgent moments in the long history of friendship between our countries. As allies and partners, Poland and the United States have stood together through many, many challenges. Now, the very ideals that bind us, freedom, democracy, peace, security, are under threat in this region as never before, certainly not since the Second World War. The people of Poland know how important it is to defend freedom. So do Americans. And we will stand together, as we've been standing together, in support of Ukraine and against Russia's unprovoked, unwarranted, premeditated invasion. In NATO, at the European Union, the OSCE, where Zbigniew is the chair in office this year, Poland is doing vital work to respond to this crisis. It's hosted an increased NATO presence. It's supported the robust EU sanctions against Russia. And it has done a great deal to facilitate security assistance to Ukraine. As NATO allies, defense cooperation between Poland and the United States, I think it's safe to say, is closer than it's ever been. Since January 30th, the United States has more than doubled the number of our military personnel deployed in Poland to now more than 10,000, including a brigade of the 82nd Airborne Division. And we've significantly increased the amount and types of military equipment and capabilities that we positioned in Poland. As President Biden has said, we will defend every inch of NATO territory. Poland is also a leading responder to the humanitarian crisis that Russia's invasion of Ukraine has sparked. As Zbigniew just said, as of today, more than 700,000 people have been forced to flee the violence perpetrated by Russia by crossing the border from Ukraine to Poland, with more coming every single day. I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to some of the folks who've come over just recently from Ukraine. But I have to say, it's an incredibly powerful reflection of Poland's values, that vulnerable people know that here they will find refuge. To help support the needs of Ukrainians in Poland and other countries, the Biden administration just requested of Congress $2.75 billion in humanitarian assistance. That's both to meet the need of vulnerable people and communities inside Ukraine, as well as to support refugee services, including here in Poland. That's in addition to the more than $54 million in humanitarian assistance to Ukraine that we announced just last week. We also sent a disaster assistance response team to Poland, working very closely with humanitarian agencies to provide the critical health care, safe drinking water, sanitation, hygiene supplies, protection for vulnerable people, especially women and children. We've delivered nearly 20,000 thermal blankets suited for cold climates. We've provided funding for emergency supplies to sustain health care for up to 100,000 people for 3 months and up to 500 emergency surgical procedures. Embassy Kyiv has temporarily relocated to Poland as well, and I'm grateful for that, that Poland is hosting them. They and our embassies and consulates in Poland and across the region are working hard to assist American citizens and their families departing Ukraine and to help them with the influx of U.S. military personnel, humanitarian workers, as well as assistance. We established a U.S. Welcome Center close to the Ukrainian border. It's been operating 24/7 since hostility began. We have support teams as well stationed near the border in Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, Moldova, to assist any Americans who are leaving Ukraine. At this moment of crisis for millions of Ukrainians, and as the security of Europe hangs in the balance, Poland has stepped forward with generosity, with leadership, with resolve. We're grateful for the strong foundation of friendship and cooperation that we've built together over many, many decades, which so many are now relying on today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Time for some pictures, please.
Are we going?
Okay, that was the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the Polish Foreign Minister who've been holding a joint press conference. The men have condemned Russia and its invasion of Ukraine and spoken about the humanitarian need in and around Ukraine with its neighbours. Let's bring in our correspondent Zain Bazravi, who's at the crossing on the Ukraine-Poland border. Zain, first of all, let's discuss the Polish Foreign Minister and what he had to say. What did you make of his statements and what stood out to you?
Well, what we heard from the foreign minister is what we've been hearing all along, a great deal of resolve and a great deal of solidarity with the Ukrainian people. You know, in many ways, Poland truly is the front line. It is the closest EU country to this conflict. It is the closest NATO member to this conflict. And as we heard, it is the country that has taken on the greatest share of the burden of refugees that continue to cross over. We've spoken to Ukrainians on the other side of the border who say they are very grateful for all of the assistance they've received from Poland. And Poland is the country that has been helping not only to provide relief as humanitarian aid, but they have also been the thoroughfare to help to provide a certain level of arms and armaments to the Ukrainians fighting the Russian invasion on the other side. So certainly, you know, definitely maintaining that in the long term will be what will be required of Poland and will be what will be expected not only from the Ukrainian people, but from Poles living on this side, volunteering to help as well. One thing we have heard from people that we've spoken to, many of the volunteers here at the Medyka border crossing, is that they are grateful. They know that the help is coming. But they say that here at this point, the busiest border crossing on the Ukraine-Poland border here at Medyka, things are still quite chaotic. There are no translators to help the many different nationalities that are crossing over. I think it is understandable to see that Ukraine is quite a melting pot. So a lot of people speaking different languages crossing over. And here, all that people are trying to do is get the thousands of people, the hundreds of thousands of people that keep crossing into buses and onward to reception centers where they can receive better care. But here at this crossing just a few days ago, it was completely empty. All of the supplies that were brought in, all of the donations had been cleared out, and the crowds weren't as big. But the ebb and flow at the border has sort of followed the pace of events happening on the ground in Ukraine. So the last couple of days, yesterday, today, some of the busiest days since this crisis began over a week ago.
Zain, we also heard from the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, who said that we stand together against Russia. What stood out to you in terms of what else he had to say? Was there anything new from him in that press conference?
Well, you know, Antony Blinken's presence here in Poland, certainly a very strong and symbolic gesture, really drawing a red line in the sand that Poland is where the United States will stand in solidarity with the EU and with NATO. But at the same time, really maintaining ongoing policy, the United States making it clear that it will defend every inch of NATO allies' territory. But what we've been hearing from people here is that Ukrainians see their counterpoints in the West. They see the West as their allies as well. And they say that the United States, NATO, the EU is not doing enough to help them fight this conflict with Russia. The U.S. is maintaining a policy that does not want to come into direct conflict with Russian troops. And that is a fair assessment. That kind of direct conflict could lead to a conflict on a more global scale across the world. But the fact of the matter is the Ukrainians that we've met tell us U.S., that if they could sit across from Anthony Blinken now, what they would say to him is that their worlds have already come crashing down because they are currently at war with Russia.
Zane, Poland has obviously played an important role for Ukrainians fleeing their country, but also as a staging point for sending supplies. I'm wondering if you or your cameraman can kind of show us a little bit about what's around you and describe the scene. It's obviously very cold and very busy. What else can you show us and tell us about the area that you're in?
Yes, of course. You make an excellent point there. The weather is becoming a factor quicker and quicker. We're at about 0 degrees here. I'm going to get out of your way and just give you a sense of what's happening around us. The crowd here really gets big and then is moved onto buses and then taken into reception centers, taken into cities inside Poland, taken into cities across Europe. And then just as one bus is filled with people and the crowd thins, more people come walking across the pedestrian side of the Medyka border crossing. Now, Mr. Blinken is likely to, get a fair assessment of the scale of the crisis from the different reception centers, from speaking to members of civil society. But what he is unlikely to see is the sort of, combination of desperation and relief of people who have been walking for days, waiting in line for days and hours, and then finally crossing into Poland. You know, this is where they come across volunteers who bring warm clothes, supplies, food, diapers, toys. I've seen numerous children just absolutely overjoyed to be handed a teddy bear or a bar of chocolate. It is a little bit of normal. It is a moment of relief to realize that they are across the border and they are safe. This is where people are preparing hot meals and serving them as quickly as they can to people that then queue up for another line and then board these buses. And we've seen police officers and firefighters effectively becoming porters, really, helping people to load their bags, carry them onto the buses. And, people are just carrying with them the precious little they have left. They've left their homes behind and only brought what they can carry. And here they actually do find a moment to sort of take stock of what's happened before they go on to other areas. But here at the Medyka border crossing, things are still quite chaotic. And the volunteers we've spoken to have said that the Polish government certainly is stepping up, but there still needs so much more, still needs to be done. You know, we've seen a million people cross over in little more than a week. Ukraine is a country of more than 40 million people. And if there is a big push, if there is a crush of people that has to run towards the safety of Poland in a short space of time, as the violence in Ukraine continues to get worse, as Russian soldiers continue to push into other cities and push towards Kyiv, then the crisis here may outpace the effort of the volunteers, but also of the governments and the different NGOs that are working here to try to get people the help that they need.
Yeah, certainly, hundreds and thousands of people have fled to Poland. What's the general mood like where you are? What's the mood of the volunteers and also the mood of Ukrainians? Is it one of defiance? Is it one of anger? Is it one of sadness? Can you describe what people are like there and what they're experiencing from an emotional perspective?
Absolutely. That oscillates wildly from day to day, from moment to moment. We were interviewing a few people that just in the middle of the interview were overwhelmed and had to walk away. You know, for the mothers, the children, the elderly, the vulnerable, the civilians, crossing into Poland is a moment of real relief. They may not know where they're going to next, but at least they know they're safe on this side of the border. They're in EU territory. They're under the protection of the Polish border guard. So there's a great deal of relief. Many of the children aren't really old enough to understand what's happening, but the ones that are old enough to understand, they have reached safety. There's a look of shock on a lot of people's faces. And then when you come to the emotions of people going the other way, there's a great deal of anger, determination, and urgency. We've been standing here for a few hours, and we've seen at least three or four different groups of men with heavy packs, medical gear, camouflage apparel. We've stopped to ask them where they're going. They're in generally quite a rush, and they say, we're medics, we're volunteer fighters, we need to know where the border is, we're trying to cross over to the other side. So, it really as much as there is relief and anguish and people who feel desperate, the men going across to the other side are angry, determined, and there's been more urgency in the last 24 hours with the people we've spoken to than we've seen in the last few days. So people are going over quicker. They're going over to try to get to the front lines as quickly as possible.
Zane, for people just joining us, I just want to let them know why we're crossing to you now. It's because we've obviously just had a press conference from U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the Polish foreign minister in the southeast of the country, where there are hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians fleeing into Poland. I guess just for our audience to recap, can you just talk a little bit about the significance of the meeting between these two men and what was said or what was reiterated for our audience, and just keeping in mind that we have about a minute left on air?
Yes, of course. The foreign minister of Poland, the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who is here to assess the refugee crisis for himself, really his presence here, he's one of the highest profile world leaders to visit this region so far, and his presence absolutely does draw a line in the sand for any Russian officials that may be watching. We've heard a lot of reports and analysis from think tanks saying that Russia will not stop at Ukraine, that Poland will be next, that neighboring countries will be next. And the U.S. Secretary of State making clear that the U.S. will defend every inch of NATO territory, that it will stand strong with its ally, Poland, which may soon be on the front line of a conflict if Ukraine indeed does fall to Russian forces. But what we've heard from people mm-hmm. here is that Ukrainians want a no-fly zone. Ukrainians and other Europeans are going into the country as well to join the fight.